My name is Jessie Ace. I'm part of a group of enabled warriors that you've probably never heard of. We're fighting back against our invisible illness and taking the dis out of disability. We don't give sympathy to our symptoms. They enable us to be the warrior that we are. If you ask doctors and nurses, they'd say what we're doing is impossible. But pushing the limits of our conditions is something that we have to break through every single day. We push the limits. We are mentally strong. We can do anything. The question is, how far can we push those limits? This podcast will give you the answers. I'm Jessie Ace, and this is the Disabled to Enabled podcast. Okay, so the first part of our episode is where we discuss our guest's diagnosis story. So you're going to learn about their health condition, how that affects them, what they take for it, and the advice that they wish they'd heard at the start of their journey that they want to pass on to you. Do you want to meet today's guest?
Enabled Warriors, we have a very special episode for you now because our guests today are a pair of wonderful ladies from the US who met through multiple sclerosis. One of them is a 45-year-old beauty with a BA in American Studies, a wonderful mom and a fascination with yoga. And the other is a 40-year-old babe with a BA in Africology, a Master of Science in Cultural Foundations of Education. And she now teaches sociology at various colleges and universities around Wisconsin. Now, you may recognize their voices because they are the hosts of the fantastic Myelin and Melanin podcast. I hope I said that right. Enabled Warriors, please help me in welcoming to the show the amazing Dana and Dawn from Myelin and Melanin podcast, everybody. Woo! Hey, guys, how you doing?
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
I am so excited to do this. This is the first time I've interviewed two people at once, so this is going to be interesting.
Yay.
How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good.
I was just asking, have you spoken to a lot of people from the States?
Oh, yeah, loads. No, we there's actually not a lot of people that we've interviewed from the UK, which is quite funny.
That's interesting, yeah.
You guys are just cooler, that's why, you know.
Thank you.
So let's jump straight into the first part of our episode whichever one of you wants to go first, tell us about your diagnosis stories.
Mine started with numbness and tingling. My right side and my right leg would never catch up with the left. And I noticed that I was really, really tired, but it was like not a normal fatigue. It was just like just an overall malaise, just feeling down all the time. Didn't even want to lift my head to eat. It was just really, really extreme exhaustion. And then one day I was in the shower and I was, you know, rinsing off and washing myself. And I took the towel when I was finished and I'm like, okay, I don't feel my body. And my torso was totally numb. Everything was numb. I couldn't feel anything. And I ended up going to my primary care doctor and she said, oh, you're just B12 deficient. And I said, okay, fine, I'll go with it. But then the problems persisted. And so she said, after the holiday, we'll revisit and get an MRI. And I said, okay. And after that incident, like, I think I had, that was my very first flare, but I didn't know I was having a flare because it was just all, like, my whole body was pretty much numb and just, I couldn't really function. Like, I couldn't walk as well as I used to. And that's when I knew something is really wrong. Mm-hmm. After the initial MRI, she said, you know, the radiologist found something and we think you need to see a neurologist. And the neurologist ended up telling me I have MS. And that was 24 and I was officially diagnosed at 25.
Wow. That's incredible. And it's interesting that you say they thought it was a vitamin B12 thing, because people have told me things like that and I actually didn't know that those sort of symptoms were the same, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've read too that a lot of people with MS have B12 deficiencies, which is interesting. So my MS story, so I was diagnosed when I was 23 going on 24. And my symptoms, my initial presenting symptom was optic neuritis. And the interesting thing about that is that my mom has MS as well. But she had never experienced optic neuritis. So when I was having these weird symptoms, so my eye hurt and was blurry and all those things, we didn't know that since my mother had never had it before, you know, we didn't associate what I was experiencing with something that could potentially be MS. So at the time I was in grad school working on my master's degree, and I didn't have health insurance. So after a couple of days, I went to a free clinic, and at the free clinics here, you know, you don't always get the most comprehensive, best care. And so the doctor that I saw was thinking that it was just like a sinus infection or something like that. So, okay, fine, whatever. A couple days passed and I was still experiencing the, you know, the pain in my eye, the blurriness, and it was getting kind of progressively worse. So I went back. He referred me right away to an ophthalmologist. They looked at my eye and saw that there was something crazy going on. Had an MRI, and sure enough, they found some lesions on my brain. So what's interesting, and I'm still, you know, 16 years later, still bitter about this, but for anyone who knows anything about optic neuritis, you know that you have to get treated pretty much immediately in order to preserve the, I don't want to say function, but to preserve your eyesight. And so by the time that we had discovered that it was optic neuritis, 2 weeks had passed. And so it was kind of too late to do anything. So usually when you have optic neuritis, you get a course of Solumedrol, IV Solumedrol, and that kind of does the trick to help restore your vision. But by the time, like I said, by the time we had discovered mine was optic neuritis, it was too late. And so I still have residual damage in my left eye. When I'm looking straight on with both my eyes, you know, uncovered, I can't tell. But yeah, so to make a long story short, yes, optic neuritis was my presenting symptom.
Wow. And you were really young as well, both of you.
Yeah.
Gosh. That's crazy.
The one symptom that I had that I hated was Laramite sign, where you would lower your head to your chest, your chin to your chest, and you would feel like this electric shock goes down your arms and down your legs. I hated that. And sometimes it comes back, like today, it came back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here you are.
I can kind of make that happen. You know what I mean? Like, I'll feel, anyway, not to hijack your podcast.
No.
Sorry.
I love it. And it's really interesting that you brought that up, because that symptom I've heard quite a lot about, but like, I don't know, it's one of the more rare ones, isn't it? I don't think I've ever had that one.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's a very weird feeling.
Because I get really weird sensory symptoms sometimes, like the feeling of water rushing down my back. I don't think that's normal. I'm not sure.
Interesting. Yeah, water rushing down. Like, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, like cold water. It's very odd. Very, very weird. But yeah, so tell us a little bit about what MS is to you, your kind of understanding of it.
I don't know if you want to take it down. Right, exactly. It's a whole lot.
Oh, gosh. You know, each day is a new day. Yeah. I think I have struggled for 20 years knowing, trying to figure out who I am. And even today, I wake up sometimes and I'm just like, who am I and how did I get here? And which direction am I going? And I say that because MS, because I had plans and my life was on a different trajectory before the diagnosis. You know, I had planned on getting my PhD and being some sort of either professor or a lobbyist for an education firm or something. And then this just came and took everything. It's not that I can't do these things still, but I'll go back to what I said initially. It's a monster. And so how do you fight a monster? What do you do? And so I'm constantly learning new strategies on how to manage it. And so that is what MS is for me today, like right now.
Good. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, MS has been a series of learning how to adapt to a new reality. Because every day is different with MS, and you never, it's a totally unpredictable disease. It's like, you never know how you're going to be feeling. So I think that for me, what MS represents really is just coming to terms with the fact that you've got to adapt. You've got to, life goes on, and you've got to live your best life, whatever that looks like. And that's mm-hmm. okay. And it took me many years to come to that kind of like acceptance. But yeah, so MS represents to me adaptation.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just take a short break to thank our sponsors. Enabled Warriors, do you want to win a copy of the Enabled Warrior Symptom Tracker book for free? The Symptom Tracker book will allow you to track your symptoms, instantly spot triggers, and get the best care possible from your doctors. Dr. Gretchen Hawley from the MSing Link said it was brilliant for those with chronic illnesses to give their doctors more accurate information. Recording these nuggets of information can be a game changer in receiving the best care for you and your symptoms. Inside the book, you'll find everything that you need to live your best life with chronic illness. Have you ever sat in an appointment and couldn't recall when your symptoms started, how long they lasted, the date of your first relapse, how long you've been on medication? Oh, me too. It's so annoying. That's why I made these pages in the book to help with this. Do you want to find out what foods are triggering your symptoms? Great, that's in the book too. Do you wish that you could wake up feeling positive and energetic every single day? The daily sheets in this book will help you do just that. Enter the giveaway by going to www.mybookgiveaway.com and enter your details through the message on Facebook Messenger that will pop up. If you are impatient and you want one now, then go get your Enabled Warrior Tracker book from www.enabledwarriors.org/book. Both of the links are in the show notes, so go and click them there. And get in control of your chronic illness today and start living the life you deserve. Stay Enabled Warriors. Now let's get back to our guest. And that's really important thing that you touched on there is that coming to that level of acceptance after a kind of a long time, because that is different for everybody. And I think that's not talked about enough.
Yes,
certainly with doctors, like they never tell you what to expect in terms of that, do they?
Exactly.
They never say like, yeah, you're probably going to go through the 5 stages of grief now.
Yep.
And you know, it's going to happen at a really long time or like a really fast time. Mm-hmm. That's going to depend on you. And it's normal.
It's more, and also for me, it's paradigm shifting. It's knowing my limits and my boundaries and saying, okay, I know that I can do this amount for 4 hours in a day, but I can't do 8. And I can't do things when it's really hot outside. So let me do whatever it is that I need to outdoors first thing in the morning. Or, you know, like if I wake up in the middle of the night, let me just do a small chunk of whatever it is that needs to get done, like taking small steps. So really it's all about paradigm shifting.
Yes, definitely. I'm still learning that one. I'm not very good at that.
Right. And I think that goes along with this whole idea and reality that MS, doctors can't tell you exactly what to expect when you're diagnosed with MS. They don't tell you these things. They can't tell you these things because it's different for everybody. But even learning to paradigm shift and to adapt and all these things, it takes a long time. You know, Dawn and I talk a lot about this in the podcast. It took us well over a decade to accept the fact that we had MS and to even come to a point where we could talk about it. Where we wanted to disclose. So it's different for everybody.
Yeah, and it's, I totally agree with you.
It's funny when Dana was just describing what MS means to her right now in this moment, and she's like, it means adaptation. I physically felt my body like, but I don't want to adapt. Like, I hear you, I accept it, I agree, but I don't want to. And so I'm fighting it constantly, which is why I guess I would say it's a monster, because it's like a fight. Like, Dana's gotten there. I'm not there. I mean, I've been there, but I'm not there right now. Like today, I'm not. So maybe it's always shifting. I don't know.
Maybe it's a day-to-day thing, you know? Like some days, I think you feel mentally stronger than other days. So you're going to be able to push through more, or you're going to be able to adapt more, or you're going to be more accepting, or, you know, some days you are kind of less patient with yourself, let's say.
Exactly.
For sure. Exactly. So tell me about the kind of treatments you guys have been on, and are you on anything now?
I started with Avonex. Dana and I talk all the time. Started with Avonex. The nurse came to the house to teach me on an orange, because an orange is very similar to our skin, they said. And I got freaked out, and it terrified me. I was not ready for Avonex at all. Mm-hmm. And I was a non-compliant patient. I will like totally admit that. And then my next drug of choice was Copaxone. And then, of course, I had Solumedrol in between because I had many flares. And then I took Tysabri, and after Tysabri was Lemtrada. Tysabri I did not like at all. And Lemtrada is the last DMT that I've taken. And that's how Dana and I met, in a Facebook Lemtrada group.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I love how you've met through that. That's so
cool. Yeah. So for me, Don mentioned Avonex. And for anyone listening, Avonex is an injectable an injectable medication. And so back when Don and I were first diagnosed in the early 2000s, we didn't have oral and infusions and things like that. So we only had injectable drugs as options. So so I started with Avonex, horrible experience, nasty drug. And then after Avonex, I was on Tysabri. And then of course, Solumedrol in between for flares and things like that. But after Tysabri, I did Lemtrada. And again, that's how Don and I met. But Lemtrada is supposed to be, so after you're done with Lemtrada, the idea is that you're not going to need anything else because it should stop progression. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen for me. I ended up having a relapse, maybe 2 years after my final infusion of Lemtrada, and I found a new lesion on my brain. And so I was given the option to have another course of Lemtrada or to go on Ocrevus, which by that time I was like over Lemtrada. Like, you failed me, obviously. It's a very intense drug as well. There's a lot of side effects, potentially a hardcore drug. So is Ocrevus, but it works a little bit differently in the body. So anyway, to make a long story short, I opted for Ocrevus, and I'm currently, since December of 2018, on Ocrevus. And that's an every 6 month infusion.
Mm. Wow. So that must have been really hard to have an injection treatment as your first treatment. Because an injection treatment was my first treatment as well, and I had no choice about going on that. So it was just like, you're going on this one.
Right.
Oh, okay. And I was this like terrified little 22-year-old skinny thing with literally no fat on my body. So it was really, really harsh to give me the one that they did. So they gave me the beta interferon one that's supposed to go into the fatty layer of your skin or whatever. Mm-hmm. And obviously I didn't have any of that. I was practically anorexic. I had no fat on me whatsoever. And that was hard. So if anybody out there is on an injection treatment, one thing that I wish someone had told me, and you guys might agree with me, one thing I wish someone had told me is that there's a thing called numbing cream that will numb the surface of your skin so it doesn't hurt. Oh,
yeah.
I wish someone had told me that sooner.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. So yeah, if you're struggling with injections or anything like that, use that for sure.
Yeah. There's just something about giving yourself an injection. And I understand that people have to do that. I mean, there are, for folks with other diseases where it's life or death, you gotta inject yourself. But, I think that a disease like MS, when you're young and you're still kind of in denial, like, I don't have this disease, it's very easy. And Dawn mentioned that she was a non-compliant patient, and I definitely was too, missed tons of doses of my medication because I don't want to have to inject myself and do all of these things that let me know that I'm sick. Mm. Right? No, it's just
the whole constant reminder.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
That sucks so bad. Yep. So is there anything that you wish someone had told you when you were newly diagnosed that you now know now? If that made any sense at all with my brain fog.
No, it does. Oh,
there's so many things.
Yeah.
Oh, what would be the main things, do you think?
Just, it sounds so simple, but you have to go with it and you have to be prepared. Like think the worst. And I hate to sound like that, but you really have to prepare for every stage or every aspect of your life, because this is a progressive disease and you don't know what you're going to be like in 5 years. You don't know what you're going to be like in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And being diagnosed so young, like all of us, you're in the prime of your life or just starting out, you know, your education, you're beyond your bachelor's degree and things like that. Maybe some people starting families. So you don't know, your career is just starting. So it's just kind of like, I guess I would say go with it and just prepare and get a great team of physicians and therapists, mental health for sure. Get someone. Okay. That's probably the first thing I would say. Get a therapist who specializes in autoimmune, specifically MS. That is number one. So you know how to navigate through this.
Exactly. Ask somebody who could relate.
What about you, Dana?
I would say, I definitely echo what Dawn had said about being prepared and planning. And it's interesting. I know you've had Ardra on your show, Jesse, but talking with Ardra Shepherd, it was interesting. So she had come on a couple months ago. One of the times that she appeared on our show, and she had talked about how when she was diagnosed, that was her thing. She was constantly kind of preparing for what could happen in the future. And, you know, as I reflected on that, I thought to myself, I wish I would have done that, you know, but I was so stuck in denial, like, I'm not gonna plan for anything, like nothing's going to happen to me. So I would definitely say, and again, it sounds really morbid, like, oh, plan for the worst, but no, just be prepared. Just, you know, this is a progressive and unpredictable disease. You don't know what's going to happen. So kind of be prepared for the unknown, I guess. And definitely mental health. That's one thing that, you know, your neurologist isn't going to necessarily tell you, because neurologists are focused on neurologist stuff. But a good mental health professional, I think, is very important in helping you navigate this crazy disease. Yeah.
100%. Because like you say, it is so unpredictable and can be the cause of great uncertainty a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, yeah. Definitely. Thanks so much for sharing that.
That is the end of part one, guys. How awesome was that? I can't believe what was shared. Thank you so much as well to you for spending time with us. And remember to go and check out the show notes for your freebies, including free access to your new favorite Spotify playlist full of empowering songs for enabled warriors. That's the perfect pick-me-up on a bad day. And join us next time to find out what our guest today has managed to do because of their diagnosis. We will see you there, warriors. Hey, I'm over here giving you a virtual high five right now, Enabled Warrior, because you just completed another episode of the Disabled to Enabled podcast, and that is so awesome. Well done. This time together has flown by though, so let's keep the conversation going. You are exclusively invited to join me in the Enabled Warriors Facebook group. We're a community of like-minded warrior friends with all kinds of different illnesses. We love playing games, doing quizzes, sharing our pet photos, and we are all there for each other through the bad times. All the links are waiting for you in the show notes, so I'll see you in there when you join.